but it should be quick if we all give a helping hand. So, how are you doing on your New Year's resolution? Now, I know a few weeks ago when we talked about this, almost none of you had made New Year's resolutions, which was okay because I gave you one. And maybe you weren't here that week, so you don't even know this yet. But I gave all of us as a church family the resolution that we were going to seek God more this year, that we were going to grow in our relationship with God through the Holy Spirit. And as a church, we were going to walk through this together, specifically in the month of January. We are going to grow in our relationship, in our connection with God, as we embrace the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. And so last week, we kind of jumped into the deep end a little bit, if you will, as we talked about the idea that we can hear God's voice. That as the Holy Spirit is inside us, He will speak to us, and He will give us specific messages from God. And we talked about how this starts by creating still, quiet space to hear Him speak. And so that was your challenge this past week, was to begin to explore how can you set time aside just to be quiet and listen, to hear God's voice. And we talked about how one example of that would be a place like the Dwelling Place on Wednesday nights. So again, encouraging you to join us during the month of February and March to come out and just hear God's voice as we worship and pray together. Now, I want to reiterate one thing I said last week, because oftentimes when we try to dig into this relationship and to grow in our relationship with God, we feel like it's not working. Like we're putting in the effort, and yet it doesn't seem to be working the way we would expect. And if that's where you find yourself this morning, I want to encourage you to continue to seek more of God, continue to dive into a deeper relationship. Because as we've said before, we can't control God. We can't force Him to act a certain way. It's not that if I do X, Y, and Z, then God has to do something. No, it's a relationship. We pour ourselves into it, and God will respond. We talked a few weeks ago about being persistent, that we can continually seek God and be persistent in our desire to have a relationship with Him, because our persistence and our continual seeking show our heart's desire, show that we really want more of God. And so if you feel like you're struggling to kind of get on board or get things, quote, working, continue to push in, because God will see your heart and He wants a relationship with us. It's just sometimes He goes on His own unique timing. And so we're going to continue to seek more of God, this ever-growing relationship with His Spirit inside of us. And so the next step to that, as we go through this sermon series, is to understand that our relationship with God is not just about us and God. Our relationship with God is not just a private affair between us and Him. We've talked over the last several months about the Holy Spirit, and we've looked at how the Holy Spirit unifies the church body. That as we grow in our relationship with God, so too should we grow in our relationship with one another. That as my relationship with God and the Holy Spirit deepens, then my relationship with all of you should grow as well. Because they're all interconnected. Our relationship with God, our relationship with the Spirit, should grow our relationship with each other. And so more of the Spirit should lead to more sharing, more connection, and more fellowship within the church family, within the body of Christ. Now, on New Year's Eve, if you were here, we looked at this in some ways as we talked about spiritual gifts. And to summarize that message, we talked about how spiritual gifts are these things that the Spirit gives to each one of us, these different manifestations of the Spirit that are to be used for building up the body. That we're supposed to serve God's church with these gifts that we're given and to help others. And so as I grow more with the Holy Spirit, I should desire to exercise my gift more, whatever that gift is, and in doing so, I'll grow in my relationship with the church, with each other. And so today, kind of on that same idea of spiritual gifts, I want to look at two other unique manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Two other ways the Holy Spirit might act in our lives as we grow in a relationship, and how these things are shared and used within the body of Christ. And these two things I want to talk about today are prophecy and speaking in tongues. Now, I understand up front that these are two areas that we tend to be very uncomfortable with. Some of us may have grown up with these experiences, but many of us are uncomfortable when we talk about prophecy and when we talk about speaking in tongues, whether it's because we've had bad experiences with them or we don't have any familiarity with them, we don't understand them. We oftentimes try to avoid these things. We talked early on about how many of us, we acknowledge the Holy Spirit, but we hold Him at arm's length. And these are two areas I think that many of us are uncomfortable with. And so I want to look briefly at them today just to begin to explore what these things are and how God might use them in our lives. And today I'm kind of preaching what I'm calling a backwards sermon. Typically, we look at Scripture and then we talk about what it says and we kind of try to understand it in our context today. Today, I want to start by looking at these things and then going to Scripture. We're going to briefly define prophecy and tongues today, what they are and what they look like, with the understanding that there are hundreds of books written on these things, that there are sermon series on prophecies and sermon series on speaking in tongues, and we're going to do a few minutes today on all of that combined, kind of going back to in a nutshell. But we're going to look briefly at what these things are and then look quickly at what the Apostle Paul says about them and how they should be used within the church. So we're going to jump right in this morning to prophecy and say, what is prophecy? Now, this is a word we use within the church, but what does it mean? And when I say the word prophecy, most of us, many of us, our minds jump to futuristic things, to end times, to the book of Revelation. Prophecy is, to some degree, the prediction of future things. And the Bible is full of prophecy. Some of the prophecies have already been fulfilled, like the coming of Christ. The Old Testament is full of prophecies about the coming Messiah. And then when we read the Gospels, we see the fulfillment of those prophecies. Prophecies are also about the end time. The book of Revelation and some areas in the book of Daniel talk about things that are going to happen one day. And these are prophecies, things that are going to happen. But more broadly defined, prophecy is the communication or communicating a message from God. It can be things to come, like John's revelation, the last book of the Bible, but it can also be about things that have already happened. One example that popped into my mind as I was thinking about this week is the story of David, King David. He's a king in the Old Testament, and he has an affair with a lady named Bathsheba, and it's secret. Nobody knows about it. And afterwards, the prophet Nathan comes to David and says, God knows what you did. And he's communicating on God's behalf. He's talking about something that has already happened. In both cases, about both looking forward and talking about things that have happened, God is speaking through a prophet by the Holy Spirit. So prophecy is both future, but it can also be the past. It's this idea of communicating a message from God. Now, in the Old Testament, when we typically think about prophets, we think about Old Testament prophets. And we usually think about the expression, thus says the Lord. In the Bible, typically, prophecy comes with the idea, God is saying this. And when a prophet spoke, when a message was communicated, you better listen, because God is speaking. At the same time, if you were the prophet, if you were speaking on God's behalf, you better be right. The book of Deuteronomy, Moses is speaking with the Israelites, and God speaks up about this idea of prophets, and you see this very clearly. God says, I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded, or a prophet who speaks in the name of another god, is to be put to death. So you can see very clearly in the Old Testament, when we talk about prophecy, when we talk about thus says the Lord, if you didn't follow God's commandments, God's voice through the prophet, God was going to hold you to account. You were going to be in trouble. At the same time, if you spoke on God's behalf without God leading you in that, you were to be put to death. And so we can see here that prophecy is a very serious issue. And it's why we're so hesitant around prophecies today. But in the New Testament times, after Jesus gives his life on the cross and he ascends to heaven after his resurrection, he sends the Holy Spirit to believers, and prophecy changes a little bit. We looked last week at Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to read those verses again because we see this change happening here. Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost, and when the Holy Spirit comes, and he says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy. God is speaking through Peter as he's referencing the book of Joel, and he says he will pour out his Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come on all believers and we will all have the ability to prophesy. We will all be able to communicate on God's behalf. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit will come upon one individual at a time. He would come upon a prophet, and he would bring this message, and at some point the Holy Spirit would leave that individual. In the New Testament, though, because of Jesus' gift of forgiveness on the cross, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can all have the Holy Spirit inside. As believers in Jesus, we all have the Spirit inside of us, and we can all hear him speaking. Is what we talked about last week. And so this changes things a little bit because now the Holy Spirit is with all of us, not just a specific prophet. We can all hear God speaking, and he might tell us something, or he might speak to us to talk to someone else about. God will speak to me, and he might say, oh, by the way, you're supposed to go tell so-and-so about this. Last week, if you were here, I shared about my experiences in Tennessee a few months ago at a listening conference called Quiet Waters. And I shared that the second day of the conference, a woman came up to me and she says, I have a picture in my mind that I feel like God wants me to share with you. And she went on to share this image she had. And that message from God healed me. I was struggling with some things at the time. And that message from God in the description of this picture brought healing to my heart. That's prophecy. That was God communicating through this woman to me. And so the definition of prophecy I'd like to offer up this morning, as you hopefully are taking notes, is prophecy is the communication of something God spontaneously brings to our awareness, resulting in a person being strengthened, encouraged, or comforted. That God is going to bring this message to our hearts to share with someone else. The woman at Choir Waters had this image come to her, and she felt led to share it with me. And I have to acknowledge, if I believe that God can speak to us through his Spirit, I also have to believe that he may speak to others to talk to me, that God will speak through others to me. Now, the big difference, though, is it doesn't carry the same weight as it used to. In the Old Testament, it was, thus says the Lord, and if you don't do what I say, God's going to hold you to account. In the New Testament, because we all have God's Spirit, it's a little bit different. And the Apostle Paul talks about this. One place is in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14. He's talking, and he says, two or three prophets should speak. Two or three people should bring a message from God. And the others, those listening, should weigh carefully what is said. So Paul's talking about a church gathering. And he says, oh, these prophets are going to stand up. They're going to share something God has put on their hearts to communicate. But notice Paul doesn't say, this is a command. You must take what they say and you must listen. No, he says you should weigh carefully. You should consider what they say. When someone says, I feel like God is speaking to me to share this with you, we don't take it as a command. We take it as a test and weigh. Take what they have said and pray over it. Consider, go, is this from God? Last week, as we talked about hearing God's voice, I shared four tests or four questions you can ask of a message from God to say, is this really God speaking? And those same questions are applicable here. If someone says, hey, I feel like God is sharing this message with you through me, we are called to weigh it, to test it, to ask these questions. As a reminder, those questions were, is this scriptural? Is it biblical? Because God will never speak something to us that goes against what he's already said in Scripture. And if someone says, hey, I feel God wants me to tell you this, I have to ask myself, is that a biblical statement? Does it agree with God's word? The second thing is, what is the tone of the message? Again, we shared last week that when God speaks to us, he will always speak in a loving tone. Even if God is bringing us a message that says, hey, you need to kind of check this area of sin in your life, it will always be communicated in love. And so if someone comes to me with a message that they say is from God, but it's harsh and condemning, it's probably not a message from God. The third test was, does this resonate with me? Does this connect with me? Does it linger in my heart? Say, yeah, I really feel a connection to this message. And the fourth thing was, what fruit or what is the outcome of this message? What good godly things are produced by this message? And so when someone comes and says, hey, I think God wants me to tell you this, we don't take it as thus says the Lord. We're called to test and to weigh it. Paul says, consider carefully or weigh carefully what is said. In 1 Thessalonians, he says on the same thought, he says, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them and hold on to what is good. Again, he says, test the words that are brought to you as a message from God and hold on to the good stuff. which the implication is get rid of the bad stuff. He says, don't treat them with contempt, though. See, many times because we're uncomfortable with this form of communication, we can very quickly devalue these statements and just kind of get rid of them altogether because we don't understand them or we're uncomfortable. But again, if the Holy Spirit can speak to me because he's inside and with me, can't he speak through others as well? We are called to test and to weigh, to check them out, to consider these things, to pray over them and say, is this God speaking? Because God can speak to me through others. One example of this in my own life was when I was living in South Carolina, and I was still uncomfortable, and I still am today, it's still uncomfortable for me, but this was a time where I just wasn't sure about this idea of prophecy. But I was working at a church, and I worked part-time at the church of the children's ministry, and I worked part-time at a daycare that was in the church. And I would open the daycare 3 days a week, and the infant teacher would open with me. And so she and I were developing a pretty good relationship as we talked each morning. And she was a very passionate, faithful person. I loved her so much because she would, as the infants were coming in, and when Alan was born, he was in her class, she would sit and read her Bible and sing to the kids every morning. She was just such a faithful person. And she just, you could tell, had a very good, deep relationship with God's Spirit. She was one of these people who could really hear God's voice clearly and was very gifted at listening. And so after a few months of working with her, one morning as we were opening before the kids came into the daycare, she came up to me and she said, I keep trying to ignore this, but I feel like I'm supposed to share something with you. I feel like God wants me to tell you this, and I keep trying to push it off, and it keeps coming back to my mind. And so I want to share this with you. She said, and the long story short, what she said, I feel like God's telling me that he has anointed you to do great things. Now, it was a somewhat generic message. It wasn't anything specific like go and do this, but it was God has anointed you to do great things. And to be honest with you, it really resonated with me. It really connected with me because I was really struggling with some stuff at the time, and it was just such a loving, encouraging message from God. And so I kind of took it and said, thank you. I don't really know how I feel about God speaking to you for me, but I appreciate the message. I took it, I tested it, ways I'm going to embrace that. I definitely felt like it was something coming from God. Now, it didn't have the same impact as my experience at Quiet Waters, but I really felt like, hey, this I appreciate hearing that. Now, 3 months later, she did the same thing. 3 months later, we're opening the daycare, and she comes up, she says, I think God is telling me something else for you. I said, wonderful. I enjoyed the last message. Let's hear it. She says, well, God told me that you're going to be the director at this daycare one day. I said, that's very interesting. I don't think that's my calling. And so I weighed that one out, and I'm pretty sure that that's not a message from God. Now, I could be wrong. I may retire in South Carolina one day and decide to get a part-time job being the director. I don't know what's going to happen. It could be a futuristic thing. But the point is, if I had just written off all prophecy, if I said, I don't believe God speaks through others, I would have never received the good statement. At the same time, we have to test and weigh, to balance that, is this from God? The first message, I felt it resonated with me. It connected with me. It was biblical. I said, I think this is from God. The second message, I love the kids. I loved working there, but I don't think that's where God's calling me to be long term. I said, I'm not sure that one's from God, and that's okay. Again, the point is, and it's finally going to be on the screen for you to write down, is if God speaks to us, he can speak through others as well. Prophecy is this idea that we are listening for others, that we are called to listen to God's voice, and he may prompt us to share something with someone else. So what do you do if you feel like God is speaking to you for someone else? If God wants you to share something with someone else? Now, here's the thing, is if you think it's awkward for someone to come up to you and tell you God told them something, can you imagine how they feel? Right? It can be very uncomfortable to go up to someone, especially if you don't know them, and say, I'm supposed to tell you something. I don't know you. I don't know your situation. I don't even understand the message I'm giving you. And so we have to take it with grace. But I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, I came to you. He came to the church in Corinth in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. This is the Apostle Paul, the guy who evangelized the known world. He's written more Bible than anyone else. And he says, well, when I came to you in Corinth, I came in fear and trembling. We imagine Paul to be this very solid guy who had no fear, and yet his, I came to share God with you, to bring you God's message, and I came in fear and in trembling. And this is a great picture of what it's like for many of us when we think about the idea that we may be called to share a message from God with someone else. But Paul says, I came in fear and trembling, but I came in the Spirit's power. That God was strengthening me in my weakness. And so too, we are called. That if God is calling us to share a message, to bring a message to heart for someone else, God will give us the strength to do so, even as we walk in fear and trembling. It can be intimidating, but if God is calling us to something, we should go in faith and go in his power. Now, again, it's uncomfortable, but one of the best phrases of wisdom that I've heard on this is this idea of erring on the side of obedience. When in doubt, we are called to go in faith. Now, so often we hear, hey, you should err on the side of caution. If you're unsure of something, just don't do it. Just be cautious, let off. But when it comes to our faith, when it comes to walking with God, we are called to err on the side of obedience. Because if we think there's a chance God might be asking us to share something, we need to share it. We need to walk in obedience. We can say, I have this message. I think it might be for you. Test and weigh it. All right? They don't have to take what you say, but you say, you know what? I feel like God is calling me. I'm going to err on the side of obedience. I'm going to walk in faith. Because if you don't share that message, both you and the person you're supposed to communicate with are going to miss out. An example of this, a somewhat comical example, but an example, another, the person who gave me this phrase of err on the side of obedience shared a story. He said he was at a conference where he was speaking about the Holy Spirit. He was talking about this idea that the Spirit can speak to us. And he said there were many people at this conference who didn't believe that. They said, we don't believe that God speaks to us today. But he was nevertheless there sharing on this idea of the Holy Spirit speaking. And he said, and then they took a lunch break. And he was excited because he liked food as much as I do. And he says he was standing in line for lunch. He was almost at the front of the line. And you understand when there's a large group of people and you get to the front of the line, you don't get out of the line. And he says, yeah, as he was standing there, he felt God's Spirit say, you see that group of guys across the room? I need you to go talk to them. Go up to the guy in the middle with a message. And the message is, pigs fly. And he said he felt like he was going crazy. He's almost at the front of the line. The food is there, and yet he's feeling that he is supposed to go to a random guy he's never met and simply say, pigs fly. But he said he wanted to err on the side of obedience. He wanted to be faithful to what he thought God was prompting him to do. And so he got out of line. He walked across the room. He walks up to this group of guys, and he says, I don't know why, but I'm supposed to tell you, pigs fly. And he said they all looked at him like deer in headlights. Because you might be able to guess what had just happened a few minutes earlier. These guys didn't believe that God could speak today. That God would speak to us through his Spirit. And the one guy he was meant to talk to had just moments before, across the room, said, I won't believe this until pigs fly. And he was sent with a message to say, pigs fly. And so all of a sudden, this guy realized that God does speak to us if we are listening. And so we need to understand this idea that prophecy is communicating. It's sharing a message from God. It takes our relationship, as we listen and grow with the Spirit, it takes our relationship and it goes beyond ourselves to others. And it can be uncomfortable, but it's something that the Scriptures say that God will do or might do in our lives. And so we need to explore what that looks like. So that's just, again, the very basic understanding of prophecy. And I want to move now to look at the idea of speaking in tongues. This is something else that many of us are uncomfortable with. And then once we look at that, again, we'll dive into Scripture a little bit this morning. But last week we established that prayer is our communication with God. That prayer works on this growing relationship. And so we are called to pray, to listen in our prayers. And as we speak and we listen to God speak, this will grow a relationship. It will deepen our dependence on the Holy Spirit. But sometimes, we just don't know what to say. Sometimes I come before God and I'm just so overwhelmed with who he is, I don't know what to say. Or I'm so overwhelmed with my situation in life, I just don't even know how to talk to God about it. And so I want to start by just looking briefly at Romans 8, because this is such an encouragement when Paul says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And so we start off by understanding that sometimes when we pray, we don't even know what to say, and yet we're reminded that the Holy Spirit will pray for us, that he intercedes on our behalf, that he prays in these wordless groans, it says. And so we need to understand, first of all, that the Holy Spirit is helping us in our prayer. And then in Ephesians 6, Paul says, and we should pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And so we need to understand that sometimes in prayer, the Holy Spirit will pray for us. And we also need to understand that there are different kinds of prayers, that we need to pray in the Spirit. And that's a whole loaded statement, but the basic idea is this relationship with the Spirit needs to be central to our prayers. And as we pray with the Holy Spirit, he will intercede for us, and sometimes there will be different kinds of prayers. And I think that in one way references this idea of speaking in tongues or praying in tongues. The Holy Spirit may choose to work this way in our lives. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever heard, or maybe have yourself, prayed in tongues. But it can sound pretty unique, and it can sound different. It's almost, in some cases, as if the person has lost control over their mouths. They're speaking almost, you could say, babbling in these words that you don't understand. And because it's different, and because it's uncomfortable, many of us shy away from it. I don't really want to go there. I don't know if I believe this, or I don't understand it, so I'm not going to go there. But biblically, we understand these moments to be a spiritual language, a special prayer language that even the speaker doesn't fully understand. Now again, this can be confusing, it can be uncomfortable, and we tend to avoid it, but because Scripture talks about it as being a reality of our faith, we need to look at it, and we need to be open to the idea that this could happen, that God could move in this way. In 1 Corinthians 14, where we're going to go in a few minutes, Paul talks about this idea of speaking in tongues as praying with my spirit. In essence, he says that my spirit is talking to the Holy Spirit. And as my spirit talks to the Holy Spirit, that conversation is bypassing my mind. It's not even going through my mind. It's my spirit and the Holy Spirit having this communication, this almost a deeper level of conversation. Now, granted, it's quite outside the empirical scope of things, because we can't explain it. We can't explain how it happens or what. We just know that the Holy Spirit and our spirit are having this conversation that somehow we've almost been removed from our mind sense or our understanding. And yet it happens, and it can happen. I wanted to define it this morning as speaking in tongues is prayer or praise spoken to God in a language that the speaker does not understand and that builds up the believer in faith. God says, this is how I may choose to move through you. So the question might be, well, who does God's Spirit do this through? Who among us could experience this? And the first answer would be, there's no reason why God couldn't have all of us do this. Because the Holy Spirit, as believers, is inside of us and with us. And so Scripture says the Holy Spirit may choose to pray in us and through us in this method. And so all of us could speak in tongues, to pray with our spirit in this spiritual language. But we also know it's a spiritual gift. And we looked at spiritual gifts a few weeks ago, that these are special ways that the Spirit will choose to work in our lives. And so some of us are gifted to pray in tongues, and some of us aren't. And that's okay. It's how God chooses to have a relationship with some of us. It is not a sign of spiritual elitism. It's not a sign that some of us are better than others. It's a different expression of a relationship. My relationship with Allison is different than my relationship with my son Alan. It's not right or wrong, it's just a different way to express that. And this is how God will choose to have a growing relationship with some of us, but maybe not all of us. And that's okay. It's about a relationship with God. It's allowing God's Spirit to move inside of us. The challenge often is in this regard that many times we feel like this idea of speaking in tongues or praying in this special prayer language shows a greater relationship. And we begin to think that, oh, maybe I'm not as good as them. Or, gee, I wish I was only spiritual enough to have this. And that was the exact problem that they were having in Corinth. In this biblical era, in this biblical time, when Paul went to visit the city, they were struggling and they were competing to have, quote, the best spiritual gift. They felt that speaking in tongues was the best gift and a sign that you were better than others because you were doing this, quote, extra spiritual thing. Because they couldn't understand the spiritual language, because they couldn't really define what was happening, they thought that this was a sign that you were at a higher level in your relationship. But we know that that's not the case. Scripture says that God's Spirit may allow some of us to experience this type of relationship, and others perhaps not. That all gifts given by God are meant to build up the church. All gifts given by God are meant to build these relationships. It's not a competition. God says we're each different and unique. We can all have a relationship and we can all grow in the Spirit. And God will choose to give some of us this special prayer language, this ability for our spirit and God's spirit to speak beyond our understanding. And it's something that God may choose to do, and it may be something he chooses not to do in each of our lives. But I want to look at what Paul says to the Corinthians in regards to this idea of speaking in tongues and speaking in prophecy, and see how he encourages them in these areas. So we're finally going to get to the scriptures for today, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to jump a little bit through this passage. But Paul starts off in verse 1, and he says, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but speaks to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue builds up themselves, but the one who speaks prophecies builds up the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets the tongue, so that the church may be edified." So already in these first five verses, you can see how the Corinthians had this underlying sense they were competing for, quote, the better gifts. And Paul's trying to bring them down to earth on this. And he says that it all starts with love. He says, follow the way of love and desire these gifts from God. Whether you're sharing a message from God with others, whether you're prophesying, or whether you're speaking in this spiritual language, it doesn't matter what gift you have or how you're expressing it. The bottom line is you have to do it in love. Everything we do should be to love one another and to build others up. And he says within a church gathering, prophecy is better in that it can build up the body. That we're hearing God's voice and we're understanding a message from God. But he says if you speak in tongues, if there's a spiritual prayer language that's happening, if someone can interpret that, which, by the way, is another gift of the Spirit, that some people are gifted to understand this language and interpret. If someone can interpret that prayer language, then the tongue can be used to build up the church as well. These things should be done in love. Whatever the expression of the Spirit is, love needs to be the core. Love needs to be the underlying thing that's happening. So if you're gifted in one of these ways, if you perhaps have a listening ear for prophecy, or perhaps God will allow your spirit to speak in this way, that's wonderful, and you should continue to pursue God's voice. If you're here this morning and you've had this kind of gift in your life through the Spirit, you should continue to grow in that and to share that in whatever way God calls you to do. And if you're here this morning and you've never experienced one of these gifts, the Spirit may be prompting you to open your mind and your heart to experience these things. The challenge is we so often want relationship on our own terms. Again, if I want a relationship with God, here are the ways I'm willing to allow you to work in my life. And some of us go, you know, this idea of prophecy, and especially this idea of speaking in tongues, it's so different. It might be so uncomfortable. You know, God, I'm just not willing to allow you to have that type of relationship with me. But if we want a relationship, it's opening all of us, our whole being, up to God and allowing the Spirit to move however he chooses. Again, he may never choose to speak in tongues through you. He may never choose to have you carry a message to someone else. But are you open to that experience? Because as we grow in a relationship with the Holy Spirit, we should also grow and build up our relationship with one another as well. Paul continues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's drop down to verse 12. He continues, he says, since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, since you desire this relationship with the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Drop down to verse 18. He continues, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants. But in your thinking, be adults. And as we read Paul's words here, it almost can seem like he's being exceedingly hard on those who speak in tongues. But if you look at what he's actually saying, it's actually the opposite of that. And I wanted to look at these verses because so often people go to these and see Paul says, don't speak in tongues. But notice what he said. He said, first of all, I speak in tongues. Paul says, I speak in tongues more than any of you. And earlier he said, I wish that you all would pray in this way. I wish that God would move in your relationship for all of you. So clearly he's not saying, don't do it. He says, I wish that God would have this type of relationship with all believers. But the issue in the context of Corinth, of the church there, was that the people who spoke in tongues, who had this gift, were looking for importance or elevated status. They were trying to say, look how spiritual I am because God moves in this way. And Paul says, no. A tongue, a prayer language, is great for your relationship with God. But when it comes to the church as a body, prophecy is great because we're hearing a message from God. But hey, if someone has the gift to interpret your tongue, then tongues are great as well within the scope of a gathering. But the thing is, we should pursue, be eager for the gifts of the Spirit, those that build up the church. So whether it's through tongues, whether it's through prophecy, is the Holy Spirit moving within you, within us, to deepen our relationship? And to build up others as well. And that's the question I really want to ask this morning is how is your relationship with God? How is your relationship with the Spirit? As it grows, how is it building up the church? Because no matter what gift you've received, no matter what expression of the Spirit you may have, we're all loved in God's eyes. While we all have different gifts and different ways that we experience a relationship with the Holy Spirit, we are all loved in God's eyes. There are no spiritual elite among us. There are not those of us who have this better or a better connection with God. Some of us are more experienced in our relationship with God, but God loves all of us the same, and we should all be striving to build a deeper relationship with the Spirit and to follow him wherever he calls us in that. Perhaps by prophesying, maybe by speaking in tongues, and maybe by something else. When we're all walking with the Spirit, when we're all exercising our gifts and deepening our relationship, God says the world will see God at work in us. They will be drawn to us as they see this relationship we have, and they want to know more about it. So the underlying question then this morning I want to end with is, where do we go from here? What do we do with this information this morning? And the great answer that I've come up with you this morning is I have no clue. Because this is something that God's going to do in your life. And I can't tell you how God's going to act, and I can't tell you what to do with it. But what I can say is this. as we learn to listen, as you are learning to hear God's voice, God might call you to speak to someone else on his behalf. And will you do that? Are you willing to err on the side of obedience, to step out of this comfort zone and go to someone perhaps you don't even know and say, I think God wants me to tell you this, and I don't know why, but I'm erring in obedience. I'm walking by faith, and I'm going to speak on God's behalf. As we open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, as we grow in our relationship, God might use someone else to speak on his behalf to us. Are you okay with that? If someone comes to you and says, I feel like God wants me to tell you this, are you willing to hear that and then test and weigh it and see if it's God's voice? Is that something you'd be willing to do in your relationship with God? And as we grow in our relationship with the Spirit may lead you to speak and to pray in this spiritual language, this tongue that you don't understand. He might encourage you to just let go and allow him to move in that way. And if he chooses to do that, will you allow him to? It might be uncomfortable. In fact, I dare say it probably will be uncomfortable if you've never experienced that. But if God chooses to work that way, and he might, are you open to that experience, that type of relationship? And this morning, I simply want us to become more aware of how God might choose to work in your life. As we seek more of the Spirit, as we seek to grow in this relationship, God might choose to express that relationship in a new way. And are we willing to walk in that way? As we grow with the Spirit, the other thing to remember is this isn't just about us. It's not just my relationship with God. It's really not meant to be this private affair. It's meant to impact one another. It's meant to impact the body. As much as God wants to know us more and for us to know him more, this relationship is meant to grow outward as well. And so we're meant to share our lives. We're meant to share the Spirit with one another, to be unified by the Spirit of God. We're meant to share God's love and with the world as the Spirit leads us. And so what does your relationship with God look like, and what are you willing to let God do? How are you willing to let God express himself in your life as you interact with the world, as we interact with one another? And so the bottom line this morning as I close is simply this: keep listening. We said last week about just opening our ears and opening our hearts to hear God speak. And so I want to continue to challenge to create those spaces and those opportunities to let God speak to you through his Spirit. And when God speaks, what are you willing to do? Are you willing to step outside your comfort zone and say, you know what, I've never prophesied, I've never shared a message before, but I think God wants me to today. Or, hey, I feel like I'm supposed to just allow the Spirit to pray through me in this tongue, and I don't get it, and I'm going to be okay with that today. And it could be a number of other things. These are just two specific areas. But are you listening, and are you willing to let the Spirit move? And that's where I want to land today. Are you willing as we grow in this relationship? Let's pray. God, so often in our relationships, whether earthly relationships or spiritual relationships, we want to control them. I think back to, you know, dating and just wanting to set up the perfect date and control the development of that relationship. And that's the mentality we so often bring to our relationship with you. That we're willing to allow you to have access to these areas of our lives and to move within our lives in predetermined ways. Yet, God, as we read your word, we see so many unique and special ways that the Spirit can move within us, how the Spirit wants to develop this relationship. And so, God, I pray this morning that you would simply bring a willingness to our hearts, an openness to our minds and our lives, that we would just allow the Holy Spirit to move in whatever way he chooses, that you would give us open ears and open hearts, that you would tear down these boxes that we've built, these comfort zones, and say, you know what, I can be so much more than that. So God, help us to listen. Help us to be willing to walk in faith, to err on the side of obedience as we build this relationship with you and as we build a relationship with one another. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.